And a good Saturday morning to you from our St. Hubert's Cathedral Annex here in Baldwin County, Alabama, just a stone's throw away from the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. It's going on and wrap up today on Dauphin Island. One of the big ones. They're going to be weighing in between 6,000 and 8,000 fish is what they're predicted. And it's the 92nd year, and they're going to be fishing for almost $1 million in cash and prizes. Got a contender 26-foot bay boat with a Yamaha 250. That's going to be given away later this evening. Wraps up at 5 p.m. tonight. So if you want to drop by and see some of the big fish, the shark category that they resurrected really creates a lot of interest. In fact, they had one a couple years ago at the rodeo. It was over a 1,000-pound tiger shark. Broke the rodeo record and also the Alabama state record. So lots going on, and it looks like the weather, which we'll get to in a minute, is going to participate or cooperate at least for this last day of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Good luck to all you contestants that are getting ready to head out. Well, there are two important deadlines that are approaching. Many of you might want to take advantage of. I found this out from attending a couple of meetings, one dealing with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries setting the duck hunting zones and season splits for the next 5 years. When we talk to our field reporter, Ryan Lambert, we'll be joined by Josh Goins with the Flyway Federation and talk about what they see as an impediment to tidal area waterfowl hunters and some action that actually got to be quick action for you to take to avoid that. Also, the Lake Maurepas area residents, they had a town hall meeting in Ponchatoula I went to. They were there with their elected officials. And the townspeople and the citizens are strongly opposed to a company called Air Products. They got a plan to transport and store carbon underneath Lake Maurepas. Pipe it in as a gas from the Mississippi River underground and then store it there with some facilities on some wellheads all assigned throughout the lake. Anyway, a lot of questions about this. It's a sensitive environment. People live, work, and play. And I got to agree with their concerns about it moving too fast. There's too many unanswered questions about the safety and the liability. If you were at that meeting and you got an opinion on that, text me, 504-260-1870. Also, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has released the latest red snapper harvest update. We'll cover that. And are you loaded for bear? That's right, the second bear season. They're getting ready to allow you to apply for the permits if you'd like to hunt bear in Louisiana. We've got some details on that for you. And the month of July, it's dotted all over with fishing rodeos and tournaments. We'll continue to give you some of the details. And you're going to hear from the first-place Blue Marlin Grand Champion in last weekend's Billfish Unlimited Tournament. His team name? Grocery Aisle, and maybe that's a hint to his identity. He'll tell you a story coming up a little bit later on. I want to remind you, if you had a successful fishing trip this week, we'd love to include the details, where you were, how you caught the fish, what you caught, and we can add that to your comments, your questions, and we'll put it in, with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time into the studio here at 504-260-1870. Quick look at your weather. Calm down. A lot of the consternation about the Gulf storm, a tropical depression, all that's kind of moved out. Going to be some rain around for sure, but the winds offshore are going to be south 5 to 10. That's ideal. Southwest winds on the interior lakes and bays about 5 knots. Smooth conditions and a rock and rolling tide. 1.7 foot is the average tide range. And the Mississippi River, the bottom is dropping out. It's down to 7.8 and continuing to fall. Stage is set for a great summer weekend of fishing. If you're not getting in on it, you're missing out. We'll tell you some more details, get some reports from all of our field reporters, and a whole lot more coming up right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And Campos Marina has been the launch spot this summer for some really great speckled trout fishing, one of the better years I can remember. And Robbie Campo is the guy that sends them out with live bait and puts the boats in the water. Robbie, how's things looking this morning?
Well, Don, we got a little light southwest wind. Yesterday, that was a different story. We had about a 15-mile-an-hour wind here most of the day yesterday. And that made fishing really, really tough. They did okay earlier in the week. Yesterday was brutal, man. I'm telling you, I don't know if we've seen a good box of fish come in between all the boats yesterday. You know, it was 7, 8 fish. Some people had 20. you know, a couple of redfish. It was just, you know, that southwest wind makes it really, really tough for fishing. And yesterday that seemed to be what happened. And it's not that the fish just left or any, they're there. They just don't bite with a west wind for some reason around here. It's been, you know, it was just a little bit tough. This morning, you know, hardly any wind here at all, less than 2 miles an hour. So hopefully this guy can get out this morning and go poke around Anastasia, the rocks maybe, up on those oyster reefs. What did bite yesterday was plenty white trout. They did catch plenty white trout yesterday, but speckled trout was a whole different story. So, you know, if you want to go fish white trout over the oyster reefs, that's hitting, man. That's on like wildfire. But I think those things will bite. It don't matter what the wind blows, you know, those fish bite. You know, it really don't make a difference what kind of wind you got, Don. They just bite.
Well, that's a good species to catch. I mean, you know, they're just one little cut below the speckled trout. And if you know how to handle them in the ice chest, keep them good and cold, and, you know, they're just as tasty as the speckled trout are. And they fight hard, too, but they just don't get as big. But you can catch all you want right now. There's no size limits. There's no minimum length or anything like that. So you can just wear them out if you can't find anything else. But I think things are going to get better today because that wind is going to be a lot lighter today than it was. But you're right. Anything with west in it, when that W is in it, most of southeast Louisiana just gets really tough to fish.
Yeah, and you know, I said that held true yesterday. I mean, it was brutal. I'm telling you, Don, I swear, I don't think we've seen a good box of fish come in. Jonathan Sanchez, pretty, you know, he's one of the top dogs around here for fishing in this sound. And when Jonathan couldn't make it happen yesterday, that says something. It was really brutal. You know, he's a great fisherman. And there's amongst a bunch of them, they all good fishermen, that southwest wind just killed it yesterday for us. But hopefully today, you know, it's kind of like hit the reset button, go out there and start, you know, boat spread out and start trying again. And, you know, hopefully this river comes down here really, really soon and those fish will start working a little bit westward. I did hear of a little bit of action happening over around that Stone Island area. So that's telling me that that things are starting to happen over there a little bit. Hopefully, I know Breton Island was good earlier in the week. And the guys that fished out on the surf did good. It was just yesterday that was the Debbie Downer yesterday. But hopefully today these guys get out there, like I said, hit the reset button and start getting some fish. You know, look, Don, but if you come in today and your day is the day to fish, well, hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us. Our tanks are full and we're waiting on you.
What size are the shrimp that you got right now?
I would say they're going anywhere from a 70, 80. I think they're probably about a 70, 80 count. Perfect bait shrimp, Don. They're beautiful, you know. But we're starting to get into that transition area where, you know, we're turning from brown shrimp to white shrimp. So the whites have showed up, but we're still catching some brown shrimp mixed with them. But I don't believe that's gonna last for too much longer. I think before probably the end of this month, it'll be, you know, they'll turn all white shrimp.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, Robbie, sometimes I question my sanity when I grab a 16-20 and put a hook in and throw it out there in the water instead of putting it in the pan or on the grill, you know.
Well, these white shrimp are far from 16-20, so, you know, when they show up, the eyeballs and whiskers, and, you know, I say this every year, you know, your local bait catcher goes from a hero to a zero overnight, you know, so, you know, because they've been having decent bait all, you know, for the past, you know, throughout the summer, and then they come here and they have eyeballs and whiskers, and you start getting some dirty looks, you know. But hey, I got a sign up that says we don't grow them, we just catch them, you know, so
right.
It is what it is.
Robbie, give me a quick tip for, you know, it's we got the hot weather right now and more of it to come. Quick tip on keeping that live bait alive when it's hot like this.
I tell you, Don, the best thing that you could do is either Ziploc bags with ice in it or freeze some water bottles and put it in your water. The other thing that I see that helps keep these shrimp alive, there's a product out there made by TH Marine. It's called G-Juice. The tournament fishermen use it, and we have it here. It comes in a little bottle. You squeeze so much of it in a little side funnel, and you pour it into your bait well. And, you know, it's like a half an ounce for 30 gallons or whatever. 30-gallon bait well, that's what most people have. And it turns your water blue, and that helps keep them alive. But the most important thing is to cool your water off. If you can cool that water off and keep that temperature of that water, and try not to change it all the time, because if you're running down, let's say you're running down a Mystico and you're going to Long Rocks, and from here the water salinity is 5 parts per thousand, and you get on the other side of the dam and the water salinity is 16 parts per thousand, well, you shock these shrimp because they can't handle that the change of the salinity that quick. They'll transition themselves through it when they're heading out, but on a 40 miles an hour boat ride, you know, that kind of shocks them, and that will kill them. So recirculate your same water that you get from the marina here until you get where you're going, and if you're going to change it out a little at a time and acclimate them into that, you know, into that that saltier water. I would recommend not even doing that. I just take and leave the same water in there for as long as you can. Just cool it off as much as you can.
All right, good advice, and we'll tell them to ask for the G juice. Thank you for the report, Robbie, as always.
All right, Don, talk to you next week. Tight lives, people.
All righty, there he goes, Robbie Campo. More reports ahead on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got some of our listeners checking in. Wingbone Turkey Call Maker, he's applying his trade right now. Listen to us over in Wilmer. And we have Taft and his dad, Jerry, Klein Peter. They're headed to Bayou Sorrel to do some bass fishing. Well, Taft, if y'all get there and you got some time, shoot me a text before we go off the air and give me some conditions of what you find over there. I'd love to get a good report from Bayou Sorrel. All right, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries released the latest red snapper landing estimates. This is through July 6th, and at that time, we were at 45.6% of the total allocation. That's about 407 and some change pounds of snapper. We have a total to catch of 894,955. So I would say now that we're at the 19th and the 20th of July, we're probably right about the 50% mark, about halfway there. Still got plenty of time to get out there. Remember, it's a 4 fish per person limit and a 16-inch on the minimum size. All right, do we have any bear hunters out there? Well, if you're interested in hunting black bear in Louisiana, they're getting ready to take applications for the lottery where you can apply for a permit. That will begin July 28th and go for a month through August 28th. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries will conduct this lottery. It's restricted to residents only, so non-residents can't apply. And if you do get chosen for the hunts, you'll be required to attend a bear hunter training course. Now, if you want to apply, you can find the applications on their website. It's pretty easy to find. Just go to Wildlife and Fisheries, and you'll find it there. And you have to put up a $50 non-refundable application fee. Each applicant will be charged, and you will be notified via email if you are selected. There's three types of permits, which is WMA, then there's the private landowner, and also a general. So this was very successful last year. It was a little bit controversial because most people know the story. The black bear was very near extinction in Louisiana. There was a designation and scientific evidence that we actually had a subspecies of black bear here in Louisiana, and people were delighted that they were starting to see wild bears. Well, it was one of those things that maybe got a little too productive And bears have been causing some damage and problems and getting too close to the residents. Although, look, hey, it was their land first, and we kind of moved in on it, so we've got to coexist. But only the mature male bears are taken. There's a 75-pound rule. No sows can be taken. And it's what you would call an amount of the species that can be harvested without impacting the total population. So if you're interested in becoming a bear hunter in Louisiana, these hunts take place mostly in northeastern part of the state. You can find out all the details. Go to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, and you'll see it there. That's for the Louisiana black bear hunting. All right, Lake Maurepas had a town hall meeting was held in Ponchatoula this week. Tuesday evening, I went there and heard from some of the elected officials, Senator Bill Wheat, Representative Muscarello, Representative Kim Coates, and Representative Shane Mack. And they kind of put out some information, all of them, as were the majority, and for not everyone that was at that meeting, is in opposition to, if you haven't heard about this, a company called Air Products is applying for an Army Corps of Engineers permit to do a project whereby they would lay some underground pipe from the Mississippi River, go underground into Lake Maurepas, which would be drilled, and it would be stored underneath the lake bed. It also consists of some platforms that would have to be put out there, and there's a lot of concern about environmental damage. And, in fact, Representative Coates did a very good job. She kind of compared this to shell dredging in Lake Pontchartrain. And one of the surprising things, and I was astonished, that there's been no environmental impact statement required for this permit. And people are asking for it. So far, it's been denied. There's a July 30th deadline, and they are asking you to contact your elected officials. There's actually a form letter addressed to the Corps of Engineers that you can get, and you can submit that to them in the public comments. And at the very best, maybe delay this until an EIS can be conducted and some more information gets out about this, the continuum, about safety, about slow leak effects, what would happen if there's a catastrophic failure, and also some boating obstructions in the lake itself. Lake Maurepas is being chosen to be a carbon capture project. It's called carbon sequestration. And if you want to find out more about it, I'm sure you can find it all over the Internet. And also that Army Corps of Engineers is where the permit's going to be either issued or denied. All right, we got more to talk about when we come back. Get your text messages in, 504-260-1870. Put it into your phone bank so you can every Saturday morning shoot us a text. No photos. We can't do photos. If you want to send me some pictures of your catch, you can do that on my website. Go to DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com and use the contact button. We're back right after this three-minute pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, some of you are asking for a little more information on the Lake Maurepas issue. I'll get to that in a second. Also got some text messages coming in if you'd like to shoot us one. 504-260-1870. Also got a bad boy feature for those of you who like to listen to that, and I know a lot of you do because you tell me you do. This morning's culprit has got about a $250,000 fine, and he's sitting in jail for 1 year. We'll tell you his story a little bit later on. All right, we're going to take a short 10-second pause for station identification, and we'll be back with more of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking our text board, we got an Ohio listener checking in. Says, a beautiful mist o'er the fields. Good morning to y'all, and remember, when that river be dropping, them fish be popping. Okay, that's a little poetry there from our Ohio listener. All right, Big Man Bassin in Covington's checking in. He wants to know, is it best to put some kind of a mess? Well, it came out as mess. That autocorrect can be a problem. Actually, mesh fabric in a live well for the shrimp to cling to. Please advise. I'm not sure what that would accomplish. Maybe would keep the shrimp from, you know, getting bounced around and against the sides of the well. But you really need to be careful because if you got an air pump in there, an aerator, and that fabric would get clogged on it, and you could cut the air off and give them an oxygen problem there. So I don't know. I think that may do a little bit more harm than good. But if anybody does that and uses it and it's been successful, shoot us a text. Let us know. 504-260-1870. I have another text coming in saying that Lake Maurepas project sounds like another grass carp in Caney Lake situation to me. Those of you not familiar with Caney Lake, it's up in just pretty much in northeast Louisiana. I have fished there before. The story of Caney Lake was it was one of those reservoirs converted into a lake, and when we had the quality and trophy bass program in Louisiana, it was designated. And it went through the New Lake Syndrome, which is when they create a new reservoir and impoundment. It goes off the chart as far as the quality of the fish. And then it kind of goes back down and as the years go by. But Caney was producing a number of record bass. The fishing there was incredible. And they started to get a problem with the grass, which is basically habitat for fish. So the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries implemented a program where they introduced grass carp to eat the grass. And it was supposed to be carp that had been created to where they would be, where they could not reproduce. So when they went in there and ate the grass and lived out their life and died, it would be over with. Well, they miscalculated that the carp would reproduce, and they were not sterile. Not only did they reproduce, but they ate all the grass and the habitat, and the fishing went way downhill in Caney Lake, to the point where they had to put tires along the shoreline to try to create some artificial habitat to replace the grass. So it was kind of create a Frankenstein monster situation. From what I understand now, and those of you who fish Caney Lake, maybe let me know, the fishing's kind of gotten back up. They got they had some special bow fishing regulations, and they were trying to eliminate the grass carp. They created the problem and tried to solve it, and I think they've pretty much got it under control now. They tell me the grass is coming back. But this Lake Maurepas situation is different. This is a company called Air Products. And what they want to do is they want to store carbon dioxide underneath the bed of Lake Maurepas. I looked at a diagram of the project. There's 17 structures, control platforms and smaller platforms, one on the south end of the lake and one on the north end. In total, there'd be about 17 of these platforms, which would be certainly boating obstructions out there. There's also some concern. They've been kind of doing some blasting in the lake and disturbing the shell, the bottom. And a lot of people think, because similar to Lake Pontchartrain, a lot of toxins are stored down in that mud, and this would certainly send it up into the water column. There's a lot of concern about the safety and what happens if the pipe leaks, who will be liable, who's responsible for that, what about a catastrophic failure of the project. I don't know. It's got a lot of questions, and it's moving very fast. And this town hall meeting in Ponchatoula was held to get people alarmed and to contact the Army Corps of Engineers and maybe your elected officials. If you live in that area, let them know how you feel. You know, I'm all about risk versus reward. And certainly this is going to create some jobs and revenue. It's another part of the industry. But the risk at this point, from what I see, is not worth the reward. So if you want to get in on it, check it out. It's called the Lake Maurepas Project. You can find information on the Louisiana Wildlife Federation website and also the Army Corps of Engineers. It kind of explains what the permit's all about. And I think at least they should delay it and the permit issuing until they do a complete environmental impact statement and study what the possible effects of this would be. Anyway, we'll be back to take your text messages and tell you some more rodeos that'll be held next week as we close out July and head into the month of August. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, checking our text message board. We're hearing from the Backstrap Stacker. He said, for the most part, the weather's held off for that Alabama deep-sea fishing rodeo. Wishing good luck to everyone on the water. And another text says, bye-bye to the Mid-Barataria sediment. Boondoggle, that idea bothered me from the beginning. I dislike the Lake Maurepas plan, too. And goes on to say the issue was that if things go wrong, Southwest Plaquemines would become an island. Regard to the Mid-Barataria project, which has been canceled. All right, when I opened the show, I told you there were two issues that needed attention pretty soon. One was that Lake Maurepas event, because they will be issuing that permit shortly, unless there's enough opposition to delay it until an environmental impact study can be done. The other issue is the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is going to make selections, the commission, on the next five, not this year, but the next five waterfowl seasons as far as zones and splits. And as I told you last week, they sent random surveys out to 66,651 harvest information permit holders. Of that 66,000, almost 12,000 were either non-residents or had a harvest information permit but didn't get to hunt during the season, so those were eliminated. The only usable responses came from just under 9,000 people, and of course, along with other things that showed overwhelming dissatisfaction with the duck hunting in Louisiana, a lot of reasons for that. The majority supported Saturday openings, late as possible teal season and early Canada goose season, no ban on motorized spinning wing decoys, whistling ducks to be expanded to the early teal season, and opening up state public lands beyond a noon closure. But also they are going to be making a decision on the zones and the splits. And you've probably heard myself and Ryan Lambert talk about this, about the preference for a coastal zone. There were four options that were presented to these people who responded. And one was the same as what we've got, an east and west. And then there's an option B, which is almost a coastal, but a little bit variation. Then you got another east-west, but with a line drawn a little bit more to the west, opening up pretty much all of southeast Louisiana coastal, and up in Monroe would have the same seasons. Now, option D gives you basically a coastal zone. It's lower Louisiana and then the upper part, say, from Lake Pontchartrain going north. The entire coastal area. And the advantage of that is it would allow the seasons to be set in coordination with tides, because once you get negative tides, you're shot. You have no access. So you lose days. And I don't know, you know, they do these random sendouts and instead of, but they do open it up for public comment. And when we talk to Josh Goins and Ryan Lambert, who are both supporting that option D, we'll also tell you how you can get involved and who to contact about that, because time is running short before the next commission meeting when they'll make the decision. If they don't make a recommendation, we get the same zone, which is what we've had, which was the option A. And it's a little bit confusing because Venice and Breton Sound and Biloxi, all of that is in the west zone. Okay, does that make sense? Shreveport, Lake Charles being in the west zone, yeah, that makes sense. But the west zone for Venice and Burris and Lafitte, no, that doesn't make sense. So we'll talk more about that when we get those guys on the air. All right, we got this one says carbon sequestration underneath the lake bed has a risk of CO2 leaking into the above water, creating carbonic acid and lowering the pH of the entire lake. Not good for sea life. I feel someone's only seeing the dollar signs, but they may be an illusion. That's from one of our regular listeners, Old Man Sam. All right, if you've got a comment or a question, 504-260-1870 is the text line. All right, we got rodeos still to come. The one they call the granddaddy of them all. It's the oldest rodeo around. Been that way for a long time. The Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo will be kicking off this Thursday at the Tarpon Rodeo Pavilion in Grand Isle. It kicks off Thursday. That's when they have the very popular Kids Crab Race. You got to watch that. They can sign up for it at 2 p.m. And they'll be opening up the scales from 11 to 6 for weighing in fish. And again, Friday, same deal. Got DJ and activities at the pavilion. And then it all wraps up 1 week from today, and they'll have the scales shutting down about 6 o'clock for the adult divisions, and then the awards will be presented at 8:30, and they give the grand prize drawing till 9:15. Of course, they got a party that goes on there with live music and food. So it's the Grand Isle Rodeo coming up next weekend. And also next weekend, starting July 31st, actually this will be in 2 weeks, the Billfish Unlimited. This is the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club's big one. It's at the dock in Orange Beach. And this is another big money tournament, and if you're interested in it, check it out. It's the MBGFC Billfish Unlimited Tournament, July 31st through August the 3rd. Also, these fishing rodeos, even if you don't participate, are great spectator events. And we also have the 75th Annual Empire South Pass Rodeo. That's going to be July 31st, August 1st, and August 2nd. That one will be at the Empire Boat Harbor, and we'll have more details on that coming up. But right after this, coming up, we got Darrell Carpenter. He checks in with us every week to give us a report from the Grand Isle Fouchon areas. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com and get us a fishing report. And Darrell, weather was a little iffy this week at best, and, you know, there was a possibility that that little system moved in could have turned into a tropical depression or a storm, and fortunately it stayed inland enough to where it couldn't pick up any speed and quality, so it just gave us a lot of rain and some winds out of the west. What's going on down there?
Well, Don, it's for us anyway. It's kind of slow because it, all the fear mongering, if you will, scared both of. We had two trade association rodeos on the island this weekend, and both of them pretty much just canceled the entire rodeo. So for us, it's kind of a sit back and take care of honeydews weekend. If you're looking at the 30,000 foot view, I can tell you that, you know, the question is when's this water going to clean up? Because we did have enough of that northwest wind that it muddied things up really bad. Now we've got big tide ranges. If we get some good tide water and some good movement coming in, then hopefully it'll clean up quickly. There again, the 30,000 foot view is you can tell by what's being caught and what's hanging out of their mouths that the fish are starting to turn real heavy on the shrimp. We've got an abundant shrimp crop this year. I mean, I haven't seen shrimp like this since I've been involved in it. And all the fish you're catching, we've got shrimp whiskers hanging out their mouth. They're chasing schools of shrimp. We've got birds flopping. And, you know, it looks like it's going to set up to be a pretty good one. We just need to let this calm down and let it replace, you know, let the good, clean water come back in. In fact, last week, right before the storm came in, Don, we had a couple of little mini jubilees, if you will. So the storm may not have been a bad thing. It may have stirred things up a little bit. I drove out to the beach one morning when I was off, and they were out there literally standing on the dry sand and throwing cast nets into 6 inches of water, and we're catching just those big 10, 12-count shrimp everywhere. And at the same time, you had hundreds, if not thousands, of ribbon fish that were up on the surface, kind of swimming on their side, gasping for air. So, you know, we had some stale water issues starting to show up. Hopefully the storm stirred it up. But at the same time, that day when that was happening, a little north-south-oriented rip came through and pushed the dirty water out, which is where all this was taking place, and good, clean Gulf water moved in. And all that action kind of stopped. So, you know, maybe this storm stirred it up just a little bit to where we get rid of some of that stale water that we typically start seeing this time of the year. And all we need to do is let it clean up. If they're hitting shrimp, of course, live shrimp's a great thing to have on hand. But 9 out of 10 times if they're hitting shrimp, they're going to hit plastic. You just got to find the right one.
Darrell, you mentioned Jubilee, and people over here in Alabama are very familiar with that because they pretty much count on having some each year. But Grand Isle is also another place, not quite as frequent. Explain what a Jubilee is, because a lot of people are not familiar with that.
Well, in this particular case, it was shrimp. But what happens is when you get this dead zone from the heat,
did we lose Darrell? I think with Darrell, let's see.
Hello,
we're getting back.
Yeah,
you're back with us. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, shrimp are all up on the top trying to breathe and stuff. Now, a week or two ago, we had the incident, the same deal with the flounder. But it's a low water, it's a low oxygen condition in the water where a lot of the fish, the shrimp, the crabs will actually leave the water trying to breathe just because they're smothering where they are. So that can have negative impacts because it can move our schools of fish to where they're finding better water. But like I said, a little storm like this oftentimes will stir it up and eliminate that condition.
And when it happens, a lot of people run to the beaches with their scoop nets and scoop them up. And a lot of times people have to remember that possession limits are still in force, you know.
That is correct.
Well, Daryl, give us your contact information if somebody wants to get a hold of you and schedule a trip for the summer before the kids get back in school. You probably got a couple openings. Let them know how to get you.
Oh, yeah, Don, it's plenty of openings. And look, after the kids go back to school, the crowds get less and the adults get to go play, right?
But that's exactly right.
They can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. I'm listed there along with your other guys. RealScreamers.com, or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, tight lines, Daryl. We'll check in with you next week.
Thank you, Don.
There he goes, Captain Daryl Carpenter. All right, we're approaching the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to hear from Donnie Rouse. Donnie Rouse, a lot of you know, the CEO of Rouse's Groceries. Big winner in last weekend's Billfish Tournament over at the Wharf in Orange Beach, probably about 20 minutes from where I am. He'll tell you the story of the big one that did not get away. We're also got reports coming from Captain Mike Gallo and Bill Ridgel. We'll be checking in with us with our paddler's report. And we also, I'm sorry, Butch Ridgel. And we also have Captain Ryan Lambert and Josh Goins are going to join us to talk about why you may want to get a letter off to the commissioners regard to duck hunting seasons before the next commission meeting. And also about a website and also a podcast called the Flyway Series if you are concerned about why the duck hunting has gotten so poor here in Louisiana and how that might be getting turned around. We've also got a bad boy, the outdoor story for you. A guy sitting in jail, he's going to be there for a year, and a $250,000 fine. You will be amazed at what he was doing and how he got caught. All that's coming up in the second hour right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.